where he was sitting. There was an odd, sickly smell in the room, like cheap plastic. He might look like a boy, but his presence filled the whole room. "Ah, we meet again. Lucy, isn't it? I'm sure you remember me. I'm Simon." He got up and held out his hand. The familiarity jarred. I was acutely aware of the dry yet sticky coolness of his palm against my own. "I'm sorry Mr. Cartwright couldn't be here," I replied stiffly. "He sends his apologies." I pulled away from the handshake, gesturing for him to sit, which he did, shoving his hands under his thighs and leaning forward the way small children do. "No problem." He twitched a shrug and smiled. "I'd much prefer you as my probation officer. I asked for you specifically. Did your boss mention it?" I ignored the question. Dropping my briefcase onto the desk, I heaved out a file and laptop and flipped open the lid. I could tell his eyes were raking over my every move, but when I looked up, he was staring intently at the edge of the desk, tapping his foot against the leg and making it judder. I busied myself, pretending to study the screen as it loaded, but my eyes kept being drawn to this small, tight figure. His incongruity struck me yet again. The pale, freckled complexion with a hint of outdoor ruddy tinge, the longish, pretty boy dark hair, his slim build, like some posh sixth former, but the blue eyes had a deadness behind them that betrayed what he'd done. He looked away suddenly. "Oh, the door's closed. Does that bother you?" He went to get up with a false show of politeness. I knew precisely what he was doing. He was hinting at how dangerous he was. If this was some kind of test, then I wasn't going to fail it. "It's okay, Simon. If it doesn't bother you, then it doesn't bother me." I looked down at my files as though I were searching for something, aware that his face had dropped. "This is just a quick chat about your release tomorrow. Nothing too scary. I don't bite," I added. I was pleased to see he wasn't smiling now. He sat down again. He looked a bit sulky. "So you have your train ticket from York to King's Cross sorted?" He nodded into his chest. "I see your new address is on file, and you're quite clear about the sex offender registration process, yes?" I saw the tiny flinch at the words, but he managed another nod. "Then I think everything is in order this end. Is there anything you want to talk to me about? Any questions, any concerns you've got?" I was pleased I had the upper hand. He raised his head and regarded me carefully. I was reminded how blue his eyes were. "People have been telling me you're clever." "Oh yes? Well, don't believe everything you hear." I met his steady gaze. "The guys on my wing have been saying stuff. Some of them have come up from the London Knicks, and a pretty girl like you attracts attention wherever she goes. Word gets round. It's amazing, the things they talk about." He flashed me a smile. His teeth were unpleasantly small, like a row of seed pearls. "Really?" I didn't drop eye contact. I wasn't going to be drawn. I'd seen it all before. The vague sexual impropriety, the intimidation masquerading as flirtation. He returned my stare. "They say you're good with people. I can tell you're the kind of person who can suss people out, so we've got a bit in common already." His smile spread to a grin. "I'm hoping we'll be able to keep in touch once I get settled. It'll be nice to see a friendly face once in a while and have a catch-up. You're based in London too, aren't you?" His look didn't waver. "North London. Am I right?" I felt a slight frisson of alarm. "Dave Cartwright is your allocated probation officer," I replied carefully. "And the meetings and appointments we set up are to do with ensuring that you won't re-offend and to help you lead a positive and fulfilling life after your release. Not," I made the point firmly, "to have a chat." Even as the pat words left my lips, I knew I didn't believe one iota of it with this individual. He had an obvious need to control and to dominate. It came off him like a stench. He paused, quietly assessing me before he spoke. "Do you think people out there hate me?" "I think people hate the kind of offences you committed." I didn't allow my gaze to waver. "But do you hate me?" The question caught me off guard. "I mean, I wouldn't blame you if you did. I took children. I bought little children, used them and sold them on, so I can see why you would." He held out his hands as though he was explaining.